Are you ready?
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Hey everyone, thank you all for tuning into Biz My Kids, the quarantine edition. My name is Nikki Watson, and I just want to let you know that our future is so bright. Why? You're about to see young scholars pour their heart out, want to know, what does it take to be successful? They'll be interviewing today's business leaders to learn how to be tomorrow's business leaders. They will break down those communication barriers between different generations. Check them out.
My name is Omari Wary, and I'm here with Business Minds Kids, where we train the kings and queens of the future. Today, we're here with Adonsell Jefferson, a former NBA player, and today we're going to talk about his experiences in the league and his experiences with rejection. Take it away, guys. Since you wanted to go to UNC, but you didn't but your life's cards didn't come out that way, how were you able to recover?
The biggest thing I was able to do to recover from that is, you know, I had it in my mind that anything that didn't, you know, go my way, I was always able to just adapt. I have to thank my mom for that, my grandparents, my coaches that I had growing up, aunts, uncles, just everybody in my foundation. And they just kind of instilled in me at a young age, you know, you don't always get your way. And I think just with that upbringing and background, it was more so of, okay, this didn't work, so what can I do next? UNC was far, far removed. Like, I was so far removed, like, I wasn't even close to going to UNC. But I understood that if I was able to get one Division I scholarship, then, you know, I must be good enough to play on that level. So I just took my second option and went to junior college, and luckily I was able to kind of prevail there and get to University of Arkansas.
But my next question for you is, were you the star player of your high school basketball team?
I actually was. I think going into my junior and senior year is kind of when I became that star player, not so much as a sophomore, but I was actually, yeah.
So how did that shape you for stardom?
You know, I've always been the player to actually defer to my teammates. So it was more so that it was one of those things that you kind of take it, what comes along with being a basketball player. Obviously, the way I dealt with then, it was different now. Like, we didn't have social media and things like that. So,
did he freeze up?
Me? You can't hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh. But yeah, so it was just one of those things where you kind of, you know, you treat people with respect, and, you know, others will treat you with respect as well. And that was kind of, you know, one of the things I kind of depended on is, you know, people want to take a picture, I take a picture with them. People want to sign autographs, I sign the autographs and things like that. But it's one of those things where, like, I'm already a private person, so it really didn't bother me as much because I knew if I'm going to be this person, you know, there's certain things that I'm going to have to deal with. And, you know, being in the spotlight, your name being recognized, your face being recognized is just one of those things. So you kind of have to watch what you do, what you say at all times.
So where are most of your teammates now?
One teammate from college, he's retired from the NBA. He's back home in Fayetteville. I have a best friend from high school who's actually an entrepreneur here in Atlanta. And he teaches entrepreneurs how to build their courses based off their knowledge and sell them online. He's also a best-selling author. I have one former teammate that's just getting out of prison. So, I mean, I have a couple of teammates that kind of just kind of went their own path. I contribute all those guys that I was able to have.
Well, thank you. Now Brooke is going to get into her spiel.
You kind of touched on this, and it's we all know that you can't be in the NBA forever, and when people go, they get their money and they just blow it all. So after, they're bankrupt. So what did you do while you were in the NBA to budget and plan for after the NBA?
So when I was in the NBA, I really had to contribute all of this back to my upbringing. My grandmother was the type of woman that always just told you to save your money, save your money, save your money. At that time, the year before, I had went overseas, so I had already paid my car off. I had already done the things that I kind of wanted to do. I had painted it, put rims on it, you know, all those things that you kind of do when you're young. So while I was in the NBA, I really didn't do anything but save my money. I do, besides buy clothes and shoes, you know, the typical things that you do. And then I wasn't thinking with a business mind also. I should have asked my best friend that was in the NBA that was doing investments, how can I get involved in some of those things? Mm-hmm. So to be perfectly honest with you, I didn't really do anything to set myself up after basketball at that point, in which, you know, that's one of the things I wish I would have done. For example, he had a painting company that he invested in 2009, and we had this conversation. 5 years later, that painting company was worth $1 million. So had I been mindful and understanding of how things work after basketball, I should have been asking those questions. So I think, like I said, the earlier you decide on what you want to do, and or if you're curious about anything, ask questions, try to figure it out as soon as possible.
I'm going to get into my next question, and it's about before the NBA. So in most stories we hear about people who go into the NBA, it's like, I was playing basketball when I was like fresh out the womb. So at what age did you start playing basketball and kind of like realize this is what I want to do for a career?
I started playing organized around 10. Before that, I would just kind of play in the yard, but football was my main sport since about 5 till about 13. I knew I wanted to go to the NBA and play in college when I was 15. And that's when I started taking it seriously. During college, you know, the way my college career ended, I didn't think I would even make it to the NBA. So I would have to say around 21, 22, after I had a conversation with my agent, it was when I kind of realized that I could possibly make some money from this.
So my last question is, what advice would you give to your younger self, like 13, 14, around that age?
Be patient. When I was younger, I was really stubborn. And I always wanted to kind of get things done fast. And I always wanted to kind of do it my way. And that kind of cost me a little bit with part of my career. But I think just understanding everything don't happen on your time. Everything is not instant. Life is not instant. We often see that, you know, things can go viral so quick. But, you know, reality is not like that. You know, anything that you want, and if it comes easy, majority of the time it's not going to be worth it, or you're going to lose it faster than you got it. But if you're able to endure, persevere, go through adversity to obtain whatever it is, you learn more from that than you would anything else.
I was wondering, like, who was the best player you ever played with or played against?
Which one you want first?
The best player you played with.
Best player I played with, probably, man. I would have to say my college teammate, Ronnie Brewer, man. He did so many different things for our team. He was 6'7", long, could defend, could score, could pass the ball, was a great teammate, real respectable, always wanted people to do well. And he allowed me to be the point guard that I was able to be. And even on my professional path, he let me come out to his house in Salt Lake City and work out and you know, help me prepare my career. So my hat would definitely have to go out to him.
Do you think, what are the things you wish you could have did better? You know, I guess to prepare your career?
Yeah. One thing that I definitely wish I would have did better when I was in the NBA was ask the question of what do I need to do to stay? I think I was just so happy and content with making it. I didn't do anything different to prepare for the next season. And I think that was my, I don't want to say downfall, but I think had I asked those right questions or had somebody to guide me in that direction and to make me think that way, my career had been different. So like that's really the main thing that I wish I would have done differently. It's 60 spots.
Oh, even small.
Yeah, it's only 60 spots in the draft. And so you got a first round where everybody's money is kind of guaranteed. And then your second round is kind of, you have to make the team. So you may still sign a deal, but you still have to go to training camp and actually make that team. So my purpose for posting that is for out of the 254, 150 were college players and the rest were overseas. And for it to be only 60 spots, like a lot of kids are getting bad advice. So it's like the numbers are just, you know, the percentage of making it to the NBA out of college players or out of all high school players is almost less than 1%. So those numbers alone tell you the chances of making it is very slim to none. And it's just the harsh reality of it. And so if you don't have anything else to fall back on, if you're not thinking about, you know, what else you can do, you know, that's when it becomes an issue. And I think for a lot of kids, they feel like, as you know, if I don't do this, then I have no other options, which that's totally not the case. Like when I speak at schools, I often say, you know, what is your MBA? And your MBA is anything that you want to do in life. You know, no matter what it is, it doesn't have to be necessarily going to the NBA. You know, you can play college basketball and end up getting hurt and then being able to work for an NBA team in their marketing department or a sales department, things like that. So you may not be playing in the NBA, but you're working for an NBA type of organization. So those are the type of things that have to go on when you understand the percentage behind you know, people actually making it. And then, you know, how can you utilize your skill sets and, you know, what you've learned over the course of your life so it translates into the corporate world or business world.
Today we talked about facing adversity in different aspects of your life, from being in the NBA for planning after the NBA and just doing so many different things with Mr. Donsell Jackson. Jefferson, I apologize for messing up here. Jefferson, me, Omari Wary, and Brooke Smith interviewed him today. Thank you for your time. So now we're going to end out with well wishes.
My well wish goes out to all of the people who are at home and because of COVID-19, they're unable to work. So that's my well wish.
My well wish goes to all the people out there on the front line.
My well wish goes out to all of the students. And this is, you know, it's a different time that they're going through and having to adjust to. So my well wish to all the students, all the graduates of 2020. I hope y'all stay safe. Try to have a great summer, best you can.
Thank you for watching Business Minds Kids, where we train the kings and queens of the future.